How many people have been here or heard the first two talks this month? Okay, how many people have heard all these talks for more than 10 years? Bunch of them. Well, if you're here for the first time, look around. Anyway, this is the 30th year I've either been listening to or delivering this series, and I'm always excited about it, and then next thing you know, it's done. I mean, next week is our fourth week, but today, of course, is week three of these talks on the science of mind, new thought, principles of new thought. And the first week, we talked about the importance of having a better idea of what God is. Okay, let's sort of review this real quick, about thinking of this power instead of as a being that we are being moved around by, thinking of it as not as a being of any kind, but as a power, a presence, a life force, an energy, whatever it happens to be, that always gives the best of itself to everyone all the time. That's what we did in week one. Then last week, we talked about the next step of that, how we need to see ourselves not as separate from this power, as Judy was mentioning, but as one with it, as the way that this power works in the world. We're an extremely important part of a creative process that has been going on since time began. That's what this power is. We are all individual expressions of this power that we call, for lack of a better term, God. There are a lot of different terms. All right. So the way we think and feel as a part of that power determines the kind of life that we end up living. And it may not always be pretty, but we're responsible for it. So this week is actually my favorite of the four topics. All right. This week, we're going to talk about the section from the introduction of the Science of Mind entitled What It Does. Once again, it meaning God. And I've titled this talk Seeing God in the World because that's what we need to do. You see, if this thing that we call God really is perfect intelligence and absolute power, and if it's always working through us according to the way that we think and feel, then we had better get clear about what it actually does when it does work through us. Because if we don't learn what it can do and what it can't do for us, we're not going to be able to use it to its full potential. It's sort of like the analogy that comes to mind for me is like having a Ferrari parked in your garage and only using it to go back and forth to the grocery store at 20 miles an hour. It's a waste. It's a total waste. So with that in mind, what we first have to decide for ourselves is how big a life do we want to have? And while we're at it, how big a world do we want to live in? Those two things. Very few people ask those kinds of questions because most people believe that they don't have a choice. They believe they don't have a choice. They take whatever kind of life they get, which in most cases is not very impressive if you look around, and then they tell everyone in their life how much they don't like the life they have. I don't know about you, but those people, I run into them at a party, and I go, excuse me, I got to go see a guy about a thing, you know? I got to get away. In this section, Dr. Holmes says this. It's a great statement. First part's good, last part is fabulous. He says, all invention, art, literature, government, law, and wisdom that has come to the human race has been given to us through those, this is a great part, through those who have deeply penetrated the secrets of nature and the mind of God. To those who have, isn't that great? Yeah, to those who have penetrated the secrets of nature and the mind of God. Now notice, he does not say that all of these things have been given to us through the kindness and generosity of God. He didn't say that. All of these marvelous things, he says, have come to the human race through those people who have learned to understand what this power does and how it does it. That's where they've all come from. The important thing for us to realize is it isn't that these kind of people are necessarily different. They seem to be, for some reason, we can't quite put our finger on it. You know, the scientists, the innovators, the explorers, the entrepreneurs, the people like Nelson Mandela and Dr. King, you know, people who changed the world. The difference in these people is they just think about the world and about themselves in a very different way. And then they act on it. So as they do, they show us a level of understanding that we should all want to achieve in our own lives. So instead of just admiring people who achieve great things, we should all want to achieve wonderful things in our own life. They don't have to be at that scale, but they need to be things that are meaningful to us, and we need to accomplish them with great love, great enthusiasm, and great success. I mean, why else would we be here if we weren't meant to really live at that level? I mean, there isn't much point in penetrating the secrets of nature and the mind of God if all we want to do is make the best out of a bad relationship, right? I mean, there isn't much point in recognizing our spiritual magnificence if all we want to do is make enough money to pay our rent and get a good used car. There just isn't. There isn't much point in embracing a universe of infinite possibility if all we want to do is feel healthy enough to wake up every morning and go to a job we hate. Right? I mean, it's a waste. It's a total waste. Remember, we are dealing here with an unlimited power, okay, that knows everything, or a better way of saying it is, it has all knowledge within it and knows how to do anything. Anything. So what we have to ask ourselves is, why are we using this power in such a limited way? That's one question. And why are we afraid to ask for whatever we want if we can have anything? Those are two excellent questions. And the answer has to be because we haven't figured out yet how much life is ready, willing, and able to do for us. So that's really where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be talking about today. Now, Shakespeare made the statement. We got any English majors out there? One. Oh, isn't that cute? How nice. Anyway, and it was in the life of Henry V. I tell you that because somebody always asks me or tells me afterwards, so I'll bring that up. And he had a great statement. I'd heard it, and I had to look up where it came from. It is, all things be ready if our minds be so. Sounds like Shakespeare, doesn't it? But all things be ready if our minds be so. Now, this is a very wise observation of a very ancient spiritual law. And what it means is there is nothing in the world that we cannot know or do if, we are mentally and spiritually ready to do whatever needs to be done to let it happen. To let it happen. Or let me put it this way. Whenever we are ready, then God is already ready because God is always ready. Kind of a little mantra there. That's the key. You see, this passion for life that burns inside of us when we allow ourselves to feel it, which we don't always do, this passion that we have, so many of us, for doing our best, having our best, and being our best, the divine spark that we all feel when we allow ourselves to feel it, it's always ready to do one thing, and that is to create something new. That's what it does, through ideas, through actions, to create something new. That's all that it does, okay? The question is, are we ready to allow it to do its thing, to do what it wants to do? If we have the presence of mind, and this is all the time, to let go of our doubts and our fears, if we have the inner strength, which we all have, even when we're afraid, especially when we're afraid, to listen to that still small voice inside of us that is saying yes, 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 when the rest of the world around us is screaming no, 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 when if we can move through these mental barriers that we put up, you know, that we always seem to be keep putting up too, we will be able to accomplish things that amaze us. We truly, truly will. And there'll be nothing magical or miraculous about it. It won't be some magic power came down and did it for us. It will happen through perfectly understandable, perfectly normal, perfectly natural ways. And after it happens, when we look back and see, we'll see that it all makes sense. It happens every day. We all see that. That's why when we see someone else accomplish something that's really amazing, whether it's a business, a great invention, or just having a wonderful relationship, all most people usually think about is, how did they possibly do that? How did they do that? But once we see it and we understand how they did what they did, then all we think is, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I do that? Okay. That's why Schopenhauer, the great German philosopher, once said, every truth, and by truth he means every good idea, every good idea passes through three stages before it is recognized. In the first, it is ridiculed. In the second, it is opposed. And in the third, it is regarded as self-evident. Like, no problem. What that means to us is, if we can stop automatically ridiculing or arguing against things that we don't understand, we're going to find out very quickly that a lot more interesting and exciting opportunities, I'm going to talk about that word in a minute, will present themselves for our consideration. Of course, there are always people, and you know them as well as I do, who spend their whole unhappy lives waiting for their one and only perfect opportunity. You know anybody like that? Anybody? I know a number of them. They wait for the stars to line up. They're waiting for their ship to come in. They're waiting for the right person to notice them and give them a break. And they wait and they wait and they wait until one day they die. It's very, very sad. It's very, very sad. What we have to realize is what we call opportunity can only show up after we have made the conscious and deliberate decision to be mentally and spiritually ready for something greater. Or to put it another way, opportunity can't knock if we don't provide a door. That's really what it means. Now, it may sound a little harsh to say this, but that's never bothered me before. There is nothing spiritual, nothing spiritual about staying at home and praying for a lucky break and praying for something to happen. People who succeed in this world, and by that I mean people who enjoy their life, because that's really the only kind of success that matters, they don't succeed just because they're lucky or because they have something special that no one else has. People who are ready when opportunity knocks aren't just there by coincidence, they are there by right of consciousness. They are there by right of consciousness. They just happen to be ready when something good comes their way because they're always ready for something good to happen. They're not preparing for the worst case scenario as so many people are. Successful people know that the universe is constantly, constantly offering us new opportunities because that's what it does. That's all it really does. Dr. King knew this. So did Gandhi. So did Jesus. So did Jeff Bezos when he founded Amazon, Bill Gates, the Dalai Lama, all these different people run through the list. And while these individuals were busy enjoying their life, enjoying the fruits of their labor, so to speak, they didn't get too caught up in the fact that the rest of the world was extremely busy pushing wonderful opportunities away for all kind of reasons that are basically excuses. People do it all the time. I have come to believe, in my middle age here, that there are a lot more people who are afraid of success than there are people who are afraid of failure. It's really true. I think so. And the reason I believe this is very, very simple. It's because there are a lot more failures than successes. Just look around. I've noticed, for example, that a lot of people are very comfortable with failure for a lot of different reasons. For one thing, some people are comfortable with failure because there's something dramatic about spectacularly going down in flames, you know, and sort of being the martyr right there in the middle of it, okay? Some people love the drama of failure. You can tell because they talk about it all the time. People who are good at failing have no trouble at all coming up with all sorts of interesting and colorful reasons why they failed, and they are always willing to tell someone what those are. I don't listen to them anymore, but they're always trying to find somebody. Not only that, they don't have to change their life very much when they fail because their whole life is based on the expectation of failure. On the expectation of failure. And best of all, it's easy for them to explain it to their friends to get sympathy because people who fail regularly like to hang around with the same kind of people. All of that's true. What we often fail to remember is that we are the perfect manifestation of a power that never fails. Like Judy was talking about nature. Nature never fails. And by that I mean this power gives us exactly what we expect. Exactly what we expect. Not what we need, not what we want, not what we wish for, but what we expect. That's what it does. Or as my teacher's teacher, Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, once said, he said, argue for your limitations and they are yours. Argue for your limitations and they are yours. Have you been arguing for your limitations? Only you can answer that. Or think of it this way. This intelligent, logical, invisible, creative energy that created the entire universe out of itself, this intelligence that keeps the grass and the trees growing and keeps the planets from running into each other, this power that has kept the sun burning for billions of years, is available to us all the time. All the time. So it can do great things, obviously, but we have to let it do things in the way it does them. We have to work with this power the way it works. That's where all the physical and spiritual laws come in. That's what we're going to talk about. You see, yes, we are an essential part of the creative process, but we're only a part. So what's our part? We are the part that gets things started. We are the part that sets things in motion, okay? We set the law in motion, and the universe, as the laws, responds. That's how we all work together. That's what this power we call God does. It responds. We set it in motion, it responds. Now, this is different from what I learned when I was growing up, probably, and the same with you. But let me give you an example, a simple example, okay? If we want to drive somewhere or go somewhere, we could call Uber, but that's not what I'm talking about here, okay? Let's do it the old-fashioned way. We get in our car, okay? We turn the key. We put the car in gear, which is a lot easier now than it did when I was learning to drive anyway. And we know where we want to go. Actually, we know where we want to be. Okay, that's what we do in mind. At the same time, once we do this stuff, the car does what it's designed to do. So we provide the intention and the direction, and the car provides the power. And working together, we get to where we're going. We can't do it separately. I can't do it without the car, and the car can't do it without me. And I know this because every time I drive somewhere, when I get there, my car is there with me. That's how I know that this is the way it works. I mean, it's perfectly obvious. Or here's an example I heard years ago. I love this. Let's say we go into a dark room and we want to bring light into the room. We have to do something. Now, what we don't have to do is pull electricity out of the wall, stuff it in a light bulb, and spread it around. But we do have to flick the switch. We do have to flick a switch. We have to set the law of electricity, in this case, in motion. Okay, but then we need to let the power, the electricity, do what it does. We don't have to make that happen. We just have to set it in motion, okay? Now, the same principle applies if we want to create prosperity, love, success, health, anything like that in our life. Because the best way to embrace this power, this ability we have, because remember, we are the way it works, is to become calm and ready. I love the word ready, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually at every level, and then to get a clear idea, which is a clear image in consciousness of the thing we desire, of the thing we're ready to create, and how it feels to already have it. How does it feel to already have it? And then we open ourselves to this power, give thanks for it, but you should always have an attitude of gratitude, and we let it do what it does. That's how we end up living a life, creating a life that's in harmony, not just with God, but with our own desires. But instead, what do? Not you guys, but people outside of here, because you guys are too smart to do this. Even though we have an infinite intelligence at our disposal, completely at our disposal, we try it and tell it exactly how to do what we want done. Isn't that what we do? No, I'm not going to accept that opportunity. This is the way it's got to be done. And then we complain about the results. We complain about the results. In other words, we don't let this power do what it does so much better than us. We have to remember that a lot of the solutions that we come up with when we're trying to solve our own problems or the world's problems, for that matter, using either what the world tells us is possible or our own willpower or intellect or whatever we do, they're probably solutions that came from our past experience or from the world's past experience. Okay, they're probably solutions that have been tried before and didn't work. That's why things end up the way they so often do, which is broken, confused, or out of control. Because the same old way of thinking is only going to produce the same old results. That's all it can do. Once again, we may be the way that this power works in our life, but it can only work in our life at whatever level we allow it to work. That's the hard part, not to force things. Surrender, if you want to call it that. Allow it to work. Or as Dr. Holmes writes in this section, he said, the spirit can give us only what we can take, and it can tell us only what we can understand. That's why we have to keep our mind open. Now, I think sometimes a lot of people, us included, tend to live our life like a faucet that's just barely turned on. Drip, drip, drip. If we want to get a glass of water, you stand there for half an hour to fill the glass of water. But if we open the faucet all the way, get the visual here, okay, the cup is overflowing in an instant. Same water pressure, same cup, all that stuff. We just open things up a little more. That's all. We just open it up. In the same way, opening our heart and opening our mind to greater possibilities is what makes all the difference in what's going to come through. I mean, there's no question this power has shown us again and again that it can do amazing things. I mean, think of where we are, even compared to where we were 25 years ago. We can communicate at the speed of light all the way across the planet using words, voices, or pictures. Once again, for better or for worse, but we have the ability to do it. We can be cool in the hottest summer. We can be warm in the coldest winter. We can fly thousands of miles from one continent to another while we're eating, drinking, and watching a movie. We can do all of those things and more. So many more. These things do not happen through miracles or divine invention. The universal intelligence does these things by being a source for knowledge. Okay, by being a source for new ideas that come through people who have learned to cultivate a consciousness that is open to new ideas. That's how every great invention or every small invention ever came into being. You know, every single discovery that humankind has made, if you think about it, this was a big revelation to me some years ago. Every big accomplishment, like the ones I just mentioned, was capable of being discovered thousands of years before it was. Right? Thousands of years. The Romans could have had electricity. They could have, okay? The Greeks could have had airplanes. Alexander the Great could have conquered the world with a Sherman tank or a whole fleet of them, whatever it happens to be. All of the materials were there for all of those things, okay? The only thing missing was the vision of a greater possibility, all right, and the knowledge of how to use what was already there waiting to be used. That's the only reason those things were not there. So every new idea, every solution that occurred to anybody was always available. It just needed a consciousness that was ready for it, a consciousness that believed it was possible. So that means if we have a problem, whether it's a money problem or a marriage problem or making a living problem, whatever it happens to be, there is always a solution whether we can see it or not. In fact, the solution is there at the instant the problem occurs. At the instant the problem occurs and we're looking at the problem, the solution is already there. Already there. That's a great revelation, okay? Now, I want to be clear about one thing. This teaching, this philosophy, this way of seeing the world, whatever, is not about fixing problems. I know a lot of people get locked in that. It's not about fixing problems. It's about seeing new and greater possibilities that already exist and then putting them into place of what's already there. That's what we're talking about here, okay? This power has too much sense to try to fix things that aren't working because it knows they aren't working for a reason. It knows they aren't, okay? That's the nice thing about being a perfect intelligence. You don't waste your time doing stupid things, okay? And if we're a part of it, that's what we can do. So God never wastes time, but we do, okay? Spirit goes forth creating all things new. Let me give you one more example. This may be a little closer to home for some of you. If we find ourselves in a relationship where we argue and fight all the time, anybody ever been in one of those? Okay. Nobody? Oh, yeah, right. or even worse, if we find ourselves in a relationship that is basically flat and we don't interact at all. Anybody been in one of those? Okay. One person. Good. One honest person. All right. The only way that relationship can ever be healed is by a complete change in consciousness by at least one person. By at least one of the parties involved, okay? The only way a healing can come about is for one of us to create and to embody a clear belief in the possibility of a loving relationship that supports both of us and allows us both the freedom to grow and meets our desire to express love in a positive and joyful way. It takes one of us to do that. And if either one of us is willing to do that much, the relationship will become better. It just may not happen while we're together, all right? And that's not necessarily a failure. I mean, even if we don't stay together, a healing will still take place. The separation or whatever, if there is one, can still reflect the consciousness of mutual love and respect because that may be the best way to create a more loving relationship for everyone involved. Remember, it's not our job to define the best solution. We just need to be open to a better solution. Open to a better idea, whatever that happens to look like, and to allow that to appear. To allow that to appear. That's what faith is. Understanding there's something better, even when we don't know what it is. I mean, the truth is the healing of any part of our life always begins as soon as we become aware at the deepest level of our being that behind the crisis or the problem that we see, behind the anger, behind the fear, behind the pain and suffering, yada, 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 behind the appearance, however bad it happens, it may seem to be, behind all of that, from the very instant we see it, there is a perfect intelligence ready to heal, ready to bring something new and better, to heal whatever false or unhealthy idea we've been holding on to. There's a woman by the name of Emma Curtis Hopkins. Many of you have not heard of her. She started out in the Christian Science movement in the 1800s, and she was an amazing healer. Very successful as a Christian Science practitioner. And when someone asked her once why she was so successful at healing, she said, this is great, she said, I never see a sick person coming to be healed. I only see a perfect spirit coming to be recognized. Really, really amazing. Once we realize that that same thing is true about our own life situation, whatever it happens to be, then we can begin to see a spiritual solution behind and around whatever appears to be the problem. Or to paraphrase Mrs. Hopkins, instead of seeing a problem that needs to be fixed, we can focus on a solution that's ready to be recognized. So we can start to see the light behind the shadow, the truth behind the lie. We can stop being afraid of what we can't do or what we might have to do, because now we know what God can do, what Spirit can do. That's what Emmett Fox meant when he said, don't think about the problem, think about God. Great mantra, great mantra. We just have to have enough wisdom and enough faith in this power to allow it to work through us, because we understand exactly what it does, which is it makes all things new. All things new. So, okay, let's look at where we are after 3 weeks. Now we have a better idea of God or Spirit, of this power that supports us, and it's always there and never works against us. We also have a better understanding of ourselves as an essential part of the creative process. So we are not only connected with this power, we are intimately one with it, okay? That's a pretty good start, all right? And today we have the knowledge of a power that doesn't work magically or mystically coming down from heaven, a power that works through natural mental and spiritual laws that are always available to us to do whatever we want to do. That's a pretty good start all the way through. So next week, I'm going to complete this series, part 4, and we're going to talk about how we can use all of this power as we are, using the laws and doing it consciously and deliberately. That's what we want to do. We don't want to use this power accidentally. We want to use it consciously and deliberately to experience every part of our life in a better way, and hopefully in exactly the way that we want to experience it. So I invite you to be here, bring a friend, and I want you to remember something for me. I want you to remember that this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. All right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's take a moment here. Take a breath. Just get centered. Allow your body, mind, and spirit to be all be in the same place at the same time. As we recognize this, as we recognize that we are in an amazing universe, we are in a place where creativity is constantly happening. We are in a place where our awareness is always there for us to use, to look around us and to see what an amazing world this is. We are in a place where we can connect with other spiritual beings in a positive, healthy way. And as we do all these things and we recognize that the power is always available for us to do whatever we desire, we open our mind and our heart to what we truly want. What kind of a life do we want to live? What kind of limitations do we want to accept? What kind of people do we want to share our life with? What kind of work do I want to spend my energy on? All of these questions are perfectly normal, natural questions, but we need to understand how they all work together. And as we recognize this, this is what we understand. This power is a process that is constantly working. It works in the world by means of me and every other person. And it works in perfectly understandable and intelligent ways. So as I go through life, whenever I feel conflict within me, whenever I feel fear, whenever I feel lost, whenever I feel stagnant, no matter how old I am or what I'm doing or what part of my life I am in, I recognize that there is a greater possibility that I have not opened up to yet. So even before I know that possibility, that perfect solution, I open myself, wide open, allowing the love, the success, the prosperity, or the healing to enter in and meet with itself as it is leaving. As these two things join together, like my breath goes in and out, all these things are moving in and out of my experience constantly. Health and healing, prosperity, love, all of these things. And they are what I am. They allow me to create the life I desire. And for this, I am grateful. So knowing this is the truth, I accept it completely. And I release it into consciousness, letting these words be my truth from this moment on. Please join me in saying, and so it is.